Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Saturday, April 14th, 2018, and it is 3:45 in the afternoon. I'm Senator Mia Costello, and with me this afternoon is Senator Gardner. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Vice Chair Senator Meyer, welcome.
Thank you.
Our other two members are currently in the Senate Finance Committee and will be dropping in later. Today we have and I also want to thank the recording secretary, Carrie. Thank you. And also Tom, the LIO operator. We have four bills on the agenda today. We'll start out first with House Bill 301, the alcohol licenses, introduced by Representative Wohl, followed by House Bill 170, the Alaska Securities Act update, introduced by Representative Keto. Then Representative Tuck's House Bill 142, Unemployment Insurance Benefits. We have a committee substitute for that. And then the Vice Chair has SJR 7, Constitutional Amendment for voter approval for any new broad-based taxes. So with that, we have before us House Bill 301. This was heard by the committee. Oh, and welcome. I didn't notice that you were there. Laura, welcome. Before we move the bill out, did you have any final comments on behalf of the sponsor?
Well, for the record, my name is actually Ashley.
I'm sorry.
Okay. And I am staff to Representative Wohl, and he apologizes. He is currently indisposed in Senate Finance himself. And with that, if there are any lingering questions, I can try to answer them for the committee.
Okay. Just to remind members, this is an act relating to the renewal of a license involving alcoholic beverages and relating to the renewal and transfer of ownership of a beverage dispensary license or restaurant or eating place license and relating to issuance of an outdoor recreation lodge license in a local option area. There is no committee substitute from our side on this. Are there any questions for the bill sponsor, staff? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just one, and I think we may have addressed this last time we met, but is this going to affect the Title IV rewrite that we're currently working on?
Through the chair to Senator Meyer, this is a grandfathering bill to allow those 34 licensees to continue to operate, and to my knowledge, it does not affect other aspects of the Title IV rewrite currently moving through the body.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Meyer?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 301, version L, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to moving House Bill 301? Okay, seeing none, so moved, and we'll take a brief at ease as we sign the documents. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Next on our agenda is House Bill 170 related to the Alaska Securities Act, and I will ask Vice Chair Senator Meyer to move the committee substitute and then have Representative Keto have your staff, Crystal Kieneman, go through the changes.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for House Bill number 170, Labor and Commerce, version R. To be adopted as our working document.
And I'll go ahead and object for the sake of explanation of changes from the sponsor staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Crystal Kieneman, staff to Representative Keto. Version R, the first change is found on page 15, line 6. They wanted the definition for person, which is located in AS 4556-900, was added to subsection 990 for clarity purposes. The next change is found on page 48, lines 17 through 19. Sections 45.56.420 sub C3 has been rewritten for clarification that the provision references rules adopted by the United States Security and Exchange Commission under the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. The next change is located on page 94. State security laws are intricately related to federal laws on securities, but making provisions of the bill subject to the adoption of future amendments to the federal statutes raised the issue of improper delegation of legislative authority to the federal government. This version removes language, quote, or as later amended, end quote, in sections 45.56.730. And those were issues that were raised by the committee at the last bill hearing.
Okay. Thank you very much, Crystal. Are there questions from committee members? I do want to mention that we do have Fred Parody with the department here, and also Christine Naylor is online with the Division of Banking and Securities with the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Are there questions for any of our guests? Okay. Would the bill sponsor like to make any final comments before we move this out of committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the record, my name is Sam Keto III. I'm the representative for House District 33, downtown Juneau in northern southeast Alaska. And I just say, as the chair of the House Labor and Commerce Committee, this was brought to our attention by the department as something that really needed some cleanup. And we did quite a bit of work on this bill last year and appreciate the committee substitute and the changes that are being proposed in this bill to provide some clarification, and do think it's an important thing to update our securities law so that we are entering into the 21st century. Thank you.
Thank you, and I agree with your comments on that. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with you. I think that it was a good bill when we heard it. It's been some time ago, and now with these changes, it's even better. So do you want a motion, Madam Chair? Okay. Madam Chair, I move Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 170, Labor and Commerce, a version R from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, and if I didn't object or remove my objection to the committee substitute, I intended to do that, and we do have a motion to move the bill. Senator Gardner, any objection? Okay, seeing no objection, we now are moving Senate CS for House Bill Number 170, Labor and Commerce, Version Romeo, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. And I want to thank the sponsor and your staff for being here today to see this move out.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, we'll take a brief at ease. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Next on our agenda is House Bill 142, which is an act relating to unemployment insurance benefits. And this was introduced by Representative Chris Tuck. We do have a committee substitute, and I was hoping that Senator Meyer could move the committee substitute so that we can hear the changes.
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 142, Labor and Commerce, / T as in Tom.
I'll object.
Okay. And we have an objection, so we'll go ahead and hear the changes to the committee substitute. And my aide, Natasha McClanahan, is here to walk us through the changes. And then I also wanted to mention we have members from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development here in the room. if there are questions. In addition, we have Clifford Napier, who's with the unemployment insurance technical management with the Department of Labor, and also Al Tamangni, who's with the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and he's online in Anchorage, so members have questions. So with that, welcome, Natasha, and thank you for walking us through the committee substitute.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Natasha McClanahan, staff to Senator Costello, and I'll introduce the bill and then walk through the explanation of changes document. Senate CS for CS HB 142, Labor and Commerce, takes the current maximum weekly benefit amount, which is $370, and raises the amount to $434. The CS also increases that an individual must have a total gross income of $3,000 earned over two calendar quarters of the base period versus the current amount, which is $2,500. The intent of the CS is to benefit the unemployed by increasing the weekly benefit amount while also ensuring the increase isn't a large shock to employees and employers who are ratepayers. The CS strikes a balance in providing additional benefits to the unemployed. We must be cognizant of the impacts to our economy at a time where taxes are being raised for businesses. I'll walk through the explanation of changes document, version R to T. On page 1, line 5, and page 2, line 4, change the base requirement for eligibility to 3,000 from 2,500 for the base period covered by this chapter. Page 8, lines 8 and 9, changes the increase in the maximum qualifying wage scale to 50,000. Version T removes section 2 of version R regarding the automatic calculation and administration of yearly increases to the state's maximum weekly benefit amount. This preserves the legislature's authority to examine increases.
Thank you, Natasha. Senator Gardner, do you maintain your objection?
I do not.
Okay. So we have now adopted version Tango before the committee as the working document. Thank you, Natasha. I wanted to give some individuals an opportunity to comment on the committee substitute. I will go ahead and start with Al Tamangni, who's with the National Federation of Independent Business, and then invite the commissioner forward, the Commissioner of Labor, Commissioner Dreyguss. So with that, Al, can you hear us?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
Do you want to introduce yourself and your title to the committee and provide any comments on this version?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Al Tamangni, Sr., and I'm the chair of the National Federation of Independent Business Leadership Council for Alaska. And we've taken a look at the proposed changes, and we do support those.
Okay. Are there any questions for Al at this time? Senator Machicki?
So could you clarify, do you support the changes or do you now support the bill?
The bill is, those changes are on the Senate committee substitute, page 1, line 5, and page 2, line 4. The first change is to eligibility to 3,000 from 2,500 for the base period covered in the chapter. As the benefits increase the base of eligibility, it also increased to offer balance to employees and employers who are pre-employers. On page number 8, line 8 and 9, changes the increase in the maximum qualifying wage scale to $50,000. This allows for an increase to those unemployed who qualify for benefits while lessening the fiscal impact to employees and employers. That would then move Alaska to the top half of states for maximum benefits. The next change would be version T, remove section 2 of version R regarding the automatic calculation and administration of yearly increases to the state's maximum weekly benefit amount. This preserves the legislature's authority to examine increases, and we do support those.
Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki?
So, Al, with your statements, can I assume that NFIB now supports House the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 142?
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions, thank you, Al. I appreciate you calling in and making yourself available on a weekend.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Next, I'd like to invite Commissioner Heidi Dragas with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Welcome, Commissioner, and please feel free to comment on the committee substitute of this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Heidi Dragas, I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the committee for recognizing that we are overdue for an increase for the maximum weekly benefit amount, and that the current maximum weekly benefit amount is insufficient. That said, the $64 increase that is included in this CS after 10 years with no change is, in my opinion, woefully inadequate, especially with no provision for upward adjustment. So I'm disappointed in the increase in the CS. What it means is that Alaska will go from 52nd in the nation on the wage replacement ratio to 49th. It could be another 10 to 12 years before the legislature tackles this issue again, as it's been the case over the last 22 years. With respect to the increase in the minimum amount of the base year wages from $2,500 to $3,000, basically what that means is it's going to affect about 100 Alaskans. So 100 Alaskans who would have received a maximum weekly benefit amount of $58 or $56 will now get zero. And from my understanding, speaking with our economist, it's not going to result in much savings to our trust fund. Again, I appreciate that there is an increase in the bill. We just believe it's not enough. So thank you.
Thank you
for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for being here on a Saturday. I think we have a question from Vice Chair Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair.
And also Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Commissioner, for being here today. I think we talked about the trust fund the last time. And did you say that it's overfunded now or that it's what's the status of the trust fund currently?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I'm going to call up our economist, Lennon Weller, to discuss that. He knows the trust fund very well.
Okay. Can I go to my second question?
Absolutely. And while we're doing that question, please come forward, Lennon.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm going to ask you another question, because a lot of my constituents work in the private sector, and I understand this is just insurance, so if they get laid off, there's this program here to help them. But how much of an increase will they see? Let's make the math easy. Let's say they make $100,000 a year. With the increase in this CS, I mean, is it going to be another $5 taken out of their check or $10 a month?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I'm also going to have Mr. Weller answer that question as well. It's a good question.
And if I can just make a comment, Madam Chair, certainly we hope that none of us have to use this because we don't want to be unemployed, but it happens. I get that. But on the other hand, too, is that I think everyone's been seeing their paycheck shrink here lately in the private sector. So if this is a big hit, I would be concerned.
For the record, my name is Lennon Weller, and I am an economist and also functional actuary for the unemployment insurance system for the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I believe your first question was directed towards the solvency or relative solvency of the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. As of the end of February, we had a balance of $442.7 million, roughly, which equates to a 3.64% reserve ratio. Again, our ideal target pre-recession or some sort of shock is to have between 3 and 3.3% of wages in reserve. We do consider the balance to be certainly sufficient to cover wide array of potential costs that the system may face. So yes, it is certainly solvent, in my opinion.
Can I follow up on that?
Senator Meyer.
So thank you, Lennon, and thank you, Madam Chair. So with this change proposed by the chairman, how does this impact the trust fund?
Good question. Through the chair, Senator Meyer, real quickly, I can give you a idea of the not necessarily the balance at any given point in time, but how much it would, say, increase costs to the average employer or employers at the average rate class, and how that would impact costs and rates, if that would be sufficient for you. I can tell you that with the change from a $370 max to a $434 max, that we're looking at essentially zero change for the next 2 years in employer and employee costs. It takes several years for these types of costs to get born into the tax rates. But in year 2021, we're looking at roughly a maximum of $52 additionally per employee for an employer per employee for an employee making at or above the taxable wage base. So this would be the maximum difference that an employer would pay per employee in 2021 would be $52. This is reduced slightly to $47 difference in 2022. Increases to $128 maximum difference 2023.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, is that per paycheck? Is that per month? Is that
this
per
would
year?
Be annually. This would be an annual difference.
Okay.
And then finally, the difference between what our baseline projection is and with this change, the maximum difference would be about $116 additionally, like I said, per employee. Making at or above the taxable wage base for our average rate tax class. This would be classes 10 and 11.
Okay, Madam Chair, and again, help me out on the math. So someone making $100,000, what would be the hit to them in 2021?
So through the chair, Senator Meyer, so wages are only taxed up to this taxable wage base. So that is essentially the maximum amount that they would pay, correct?
Okay, very good.
Of course, it would vary based on the tax class they were in, but this is at the average tax class.
Okay, and then, Madam Chair.
Excuse me, Senator Meyer. Yep. Commissioner Dragas, did you want to add to this?
through the chair, Senator Meyer, one other thing I wanted to add is that the Alaska's UI Trust Fund is extremely healthy, and it's been healthy throughout its existence. I am not an economist, but the way that they calculate the rates and determine the solvency, it's been used as a model for other states. So that is one thing I'd like to add on the record. It is a very well operating trust fund.
Okay. Madam Chair, if I can follow up on that.
Senator Meyer.
Yep. Commissioner, thank you. But I think in your opening comments, you had mentioned that this CS may jeopardize that trust fund or the healthiness of that trust fund, or did I misunderstand?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, no. You must have misunderstood me. I'm looking.
So
no, the trust fund will be healthy whether the CS is adopted at $434 for the maximum weekly benefit amount or $510. The trust fund will remain healthy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Machicki.
Thank you. So just to understand this, if there's $442.7 million for the balance in the UI fund. That represents 3.641% of wages. So that must mean annual wages in Alaska is somewhere around $12.159 billion. Is that about correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. So How do you base the, and I don't mind it being a little bit overfunded. I think that's healthy. But there must be a reason that, is it a national average of wanting to fund 3 to 3.3%? And what is that? That's assuming some level of unemployment that is based on some kind of a model. Can you describe that quickly?
Through the chair, Senator Michici, I could certainly do that. The 3 to 3.3% reserve ratio target for the Alaska Trust Fund is a target that was determined to be adequate based on Alaska's history with unemployment insurance. Every state has essentially a different system, and so the targeted amount needed in reserves to handle a varying amount of benefit loads for that state, it varies. And so through our experience, the determined ideal target enabled to be able to absorb costs such as in the early mid-80s was to have 3 to 3.3% in reserves. The Federal Department of Labor has two official values that they use for trust fund adequacy. One is an average high cost multiple, and this can get a little bit technical, but what it does is it determines whether or not you have in reserves enough to handle three of your highest cost years as a percentage of wages in reserves. So for example, if your three highest cost years on average are 3%, then to meet this average high cost ratio, you would need to have, of course, 3% in reserves correspondingly. In addition to this, there's the high cost multiple, which is essentially the year in which you had the highest costs as a percentage of wages covered over throughout your entire history. For Alaska, I believe it was right around 4.2% was our highest cost year that we'd ever experienced. This is back somewhere in the mid-70s, I believe. But throughout our history of the UI program, and certainly in the past 30 years, the target of 3 to 3.3% has been deemed sufficient to handle any claims loads that we've experienced. And certainly, you know, as a testament to that, you know, we are one state that's never had to borrow money to pay unemployment insurance benefits, which comes with its own additional costs. So certainly I would say that our targets for fund solvency and financing have stood the test of time.
Senator Michici?
Brief follow-up, so folks in Labor and Commerce, since this is the Committee on the Economy, recessions obviously matter because it looks like we're down about $1.5 billion in statewide earnings over the last couple years, if I'm correct. So, big difference.
Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the Commissioner's comments about her concern that we're only going from 52nd in the nation to 49th. What would it require for us to go somewhere in the middle, say 25th?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I can get you to that value in just a second. If we're looking specifically at the wage replacement rate, which is from a system standpoint, it would probably be the better metric to use. You would, in terms of a value, we would need to be somewhere in the low 40% range on average wage replacement. Right now, we sit at just under 29% on average. With the bill as written, with this committee substitute, we're looking at about a 32.3-ish replacement rate on average. With the original 510, and even at 510, the max. The wages needed to qualify for that benefit amount actually would have equated to about a 46% replacement rate. They're at the top of the schedule. Certainly the bottom of the schedule, you see higher replacement rates, meaning the benefit amount as a percentage of the weekly wage essentially needed to qualify for that benefit amount is much greater at about, I believe, $22,000 or $23,000 in wages. You cross the 50% threshold and fall below that. But we would need, in order to be about the middle of the pack, like I said, right around 42% replacement rate on average, which I didn't calculate an average replacement rate at the 510 benefit amount, but I'm willing to bet it's probably right around in there.
Thank you, Lynn.
Senator Stevens?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Gardner, did you have any questions? Okay, I'm going to take a brief at ease. Commerce Committee, thank you, Commissioner, and thank you, Lynn, and really appreciate your math on the fly. Next, I'd like to invite the staff to the bill sponsor, Kendra Koster, to come forward with Representative Tuck's office, and wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to the committee substitute. It looks like we will be moving this out of committee this afternoon, and maybe there, if there's any comments that you wanted to provide us before it moves on to the Senate Finance Committee.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. Kendra Koster, staff to Representative Tuck. Pretty much Commissioner Dragas stole my thunder and what I wanted to say, too. So just appreciate the committee looking at this and moving it forward onto the Finance Committee and recognizing that we do need to increase those benefits. I know Representative Tuck is a little bit concerned with removing Section 2, which has the automatic adjustment in there for the wage replacement, because we have only come back once in 22 years to actually update the wage, and so that or the wage replacement, and so to ensure to keep up with the time. So a little bit of concern with that, and with the 25 amount with the Alaskans that will going from 2,500 to 3,000 as the base rate, a little bit of concern with that, with knocking off the about 100 Alaskans, and I think that's going to impact probably our rural areas a little bit more so. But we do appreciate moving this on and having continued discussion and going ahead and you know, increasing the rates is what we can do, and I think that's really appreciated.
Thank you very much, and your comments are noted, and appreciate that you were here. And I know the sponsor is on the in another committee at the time, so
yes.
Or the floor, one of the two. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. With that, Senator Meyer.
Okay, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 142, Labor and Commerce /T, version T, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to moving Senate CS for CS for House Bill 142, Labor and Commerce, version Tango, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note? Okay, seeing none, the bill moves, and we will take a brief at ease as we sign the documents before our next piece of legislation. I'd like to welcome Christine Marasigan to the table. We have Senate Joint Resolution 7 before us. This has been introduced by Senator Meyer. So with that, Senator Meyer and Christine, please feel free to, I think, walk us through the committee substitute. There is, we did make changes to this bill. So with that.
Madam Chair, can I just do a brief introduction?
Oh, Senator Meyer,
yeah.
Of course.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, before I turn it over to Christine Marsigan and my staff to walk us through the bill and explain what it does, I just wanted to say this is a bill that actually was introduced by a previous member who has left the Senate, and so I've taken this over and just feel like a broad-based tax does have a impact on our constituents, and in some cases it could be a negative impact. And I don't think what we're proposing here is too far-fetched, because it the state of Colorado has such a thing, and also many municipalities also require the voters to approve a broad-based tax. And I think we also have this, and Christine will explain, I think we also did this statutorily. Obviously, if it's in the Constitution, it's it would be more permanent, so that would be our preference. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Senator Meyer, would you like to move the committee substitute version Delta before us as a working document so we can hear the changes?
Sure. Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 7/D as in David to be adopted as our working document.
And I'll object for the sake of an explanation of changes. So, welcome, Christine.
For the record, my name is Christine Marcy, and staff to Senator Kevin Meyer. Madam Chair, before you is the committee substitute, which makes two changes that was discussed during your committee hearing of February 27th, when it was pointed out that the taxes referred to in the bill were very broad in that it just had the word tax. The sponsor, of course, wanted to make it clear that this was to apply to broad-based taxes only, i.e. an income tax or a statewide sales tax. So in this committee substitute before you, on lines 2 and on lines 8, that is more clearly defined as a broad-based individual income tax or a statewide general sales tax.
Okay, and I'll go ahead and remove my objection. Is there further objection to adopting version Delta for the committee as a working document? Okay, seeing none, we now have version Delta for CS for Senate Joint Resolution 7. Are there questions of committee members or discussion that we'd like to have about this bill? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I think I made my my comments already, and that is just that the potential impact a broad-based tax can have on our constituents can be great, and this would just assure the legislature that our constituents want a broad-based tax, whether it be an income tax or a sales tax.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator Meyer. And you had mentioned which states actually have passed similar measures and the people have actually voted them into law.
I think I'll let Christine talk to this. The state that you hear so much about is Colorado, but can I let Christine answer?
Absolutely, Christine.
For the record, my name is Christine Marasigan, staff to Senator Kevin Meyer. Madam Chair, yes, as referenced during previous discussion, a lot of people point to Colorado as a model where they have what is called Tabor, which is the basically mandates a voter referendum for the approval of taxes. In other smaller venues, obviously, what's mostly referred to is a lot of states will do so for certain bonds and as with municipalities.
Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if you can answer this, Christine, but so how did we get income tax to start with? Was that a vote of the public?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I'm not sure.
I don't think it was.
Senator,
I'd like to know.
I don't know.
Senator Stevens, I don't think so either, but that's something I think the bill sponsor staff could get that to us.
And if I may, Madam Chair, I would like to point out that in years past there have been advisory votes, legislation that has come before the committee on such subjects. They haven't passed in previous years. I do know that currently we not only have this particular piece of legislation, but in trying to do this statutorily, we were advised that doing so would be unconstitutional, so it would either have to be a constitutional amendment or it could be an advisory vote, one or the other.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Is there anyone here in Juneau who wishes to testify on SJR 7? Okay, seeing none. Is there anyone online who wishes to testify on this resolution? Okay, seeing none. Public testimony is now closed, and I will look to the will of the committee.
Madam Chair?
Senator Meyer?
I was just looking at the resolution here, and it has it's a Senate bill, and it has three committees. So and this is the first committee. It's got a ways to go, Judiciary and Finance. Of course, it's your choice as well as the committee members, but I'd like to move it at least to the next committee for, you know, it's a constitutional issue, so I think Judiciary is the proper committee to have the discussion on whether it should be included in the Constitution.
Senator Machiki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do believe, since this is the Committee on the Economy, that this has significant implications on the economy, both good and bad. So I do appreciate the fact that you're willing to hear it, and I'm not going to stand in the way of it moving forward at this point. If that's the choice of the committee, I have many questions. Some of them I'll have answered through my own research, but I just wanted to let you know that it's up to the other members what you all choose to do today. It's a very simple concept, and that is, do you feel that the ability to tax and therefore the ability to appropriate should be shared with our responsibility here with the folks at home? And I, just through my years, normally, no matter what the facts are, sometimes when you ask people if they want to pay more money, you can guarantee the answer. But I'm not interested in stopping the legislation at this point.
Okay. Any further comments?
Can we have an Addies?
Oh, sure. Addies. At Labor and Commerce Committee. Senator Meyer.
I think I did all my comments. Oh, do you want me to move it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'd be happy to, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move, Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, Version 7, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
I'll object. Okay. Used to be the party pooper.
Okay, so we have a roll call vote.
Mm-hmm. Can she speak?
Oh, would you like to speak to your objection?
No.
Okay.
Senator Chicky. Pass.
You can change your mind.
I have the right to pass. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
I'll double pass.
Senator Gardner.
No.
Senator Machiki.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Oh, yes.
Senator Costello.
Yes.
4 yeas, 1 nay.
So 4 yeas, 1 nay. The legislation, Senate Joint Resolution 7, does move on to the next committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Madam Chair, can we have closing comments?
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Senator Machiki.
Yeah, I believe in sending everything that we possibly can to the voters. I am always interested. It comes with a receipt, right? You know that your constituents and your district, you can break it down by district if this went to a vote. I think it's valuable information if this ends up passing. Where we struggle in Alaska right now is just where we are. And that question of responsibility, we have this little blue book called Constitution, and it requires us to provide certain services. Those services are expensive, and we do the best we can on reducing the cost. I mean, there are members here that are going to disagree on what we believe those services should cost. I think they should cost lower than what we're spending. Some believe that they should cost more than what we're spending. But being a voter and a resident of the state comes with responsibilities, and we certainly hope that should this ever go to a vote of the people on a broad-based tax, that they will take the time to think about the services that they expect, think about what they cost and what some of those, and I'm opposed to a broad-based tax, but we don't know what the future holds, so it's just we could probably all talk about this for hours, but I just wanted to get those comments on the record, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Machicki, for your comments. Any further comments? Okay, seeing none, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet next Tuesday at 1:30 in hearing bills previously heard. And so with that, we will adjourn.